I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 43 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Wednesday, November the 12th, 2025, the day after Veterans Day. I'm Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield, alongside manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. We got a good show on tap for you today and a lot to talk about going on in the world of sports. We'll get to all that. We'll get to our phone callers. I see they're already calling in this morning. Callers, you hold tight. We'll get to you in a few minutes. First, though, I need to tell you, as always, this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Member-owned and not-for-profit, it really is just a better way of banking, and I mean that. I should know I'm a member. I think you should consider becoming a member, too, because member-owned and not-for-profit is the way to go. Unlike a traditional banking institution that's taking its profits and paying off its shareholders, Alabama Credit Union is taking its profits and returning them to you, the member, in the form of lower interest rates on loans and higher dividends. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today. And feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, the lineup for today, it's the Wednesday lineup. Matt Coulter is going to be back one more time before we take a hiatus from the NASCAR report. Just to kind of put a bow on the season, last week we talked about Kyle Larson's championship, Denny Hamlin's disappointment. Today we'll just kind of put a bow on the season and kind of look ahead to 2026 and what might be in store there. Then at 10:30, Larry the Music Man back in his normal time slot. And I had to move him up to 10 the last couple of weeks, but 10:30 this morning. So we're looking forward to those guys being with us as well. All right, we'll get to those phone calls in just a second. A couple of things, some news and notes. Alabama football continues preparations for Oklahoma. The college football playoff rankings came out last night. Really no change. Alabama's at number 4. There's no change in the top 5. Oklahoma is at number 12, but technically they're 13th because obviously one of those spots is going to go to the highest rated group of 5 conference champions. So even though that would be South Florida right now, even though South Florida is way down the list, they would be one of the 12 teams. So even though Oklahoma's 12th in the poll, they're actually 13th. So they're going to be looking to get a win. They're going to be looking to come into Alabama and get a win and start their drive to be in the college football playoff. So this is not going to be an easy game on Saturday. We've talked about that. We'll continue to discuss that today. As far as the NFL is concerned, you know, Brian Daboll out in New York and Jackson Dart is hurt. And I think the new Giants regime, as far as the interim head coach and the front office, has seen enough for Russell Wilson. So Jameis Winston is going to get the start against the Packers for the New York Giants as they move forward without a head coach. And until Jackson Dart gets back, it looks like it's going to be Winston over Russell Wilson. And I'll be honest with you, Russell Wilson's been a really good quarterback in this league, but Father Time stops for no one. And it kind of appears that, I'm not going to say he's washed, but he's on the other side of things as far as his career is concerned. High school basketball has cranked up. And, you know, of course, Barry coaches Northridge, Barry Sanderson. They had a big win in overtime a couple nights ago against Homewood. And Chase, a huge game last night, standing room only down in Mountville. I sent Jalen Prince from WVUA 23 down there to video both the girls and the boys game. But the boys game between Paul Bryant, the defending Class 6A state champion, and Class 4A Hale County, featuring Gage Mayfield, the Oklahoma commit, you couldn't move the gym. I was watching the highlights last night and showing the highlights. Of course, we're doing 9 o'clock news, by the way, now. People have contacted me. I probably didn't promote that enough. My WVUA 23 full-time job, we do 9 o'clock news. And so I didn't have a final score. I had the fourth quarter score, but Hell County was up by 6 going to the fourth quarter, and they wound up winning that game. And even though they have a great player in Gage Mayfield, I'm still surprised. That 6A Paul Bryant, the defending Class 6A state champions, that's a huge win for Hell County. I mean, listen, you got a player like Gage Mayfield in your Class 4A, and you just beat Class 6A defending state champion. You know what you're doing, Chase? You're sending a message that you better watch us. We're a state championship contender. So, and high school basketball is back. Of course, high school football playoffs, I don't really like the overlap, but it is what it is. High school football playoffs continue on on Friday night. So, all right, I got a quick story before we get to the phone calls, because I put this out on social media this morning, but it is kind of funny, Chase, and you know me pretty well. Everybody that knows me kind of knows this. I'm pretty good at you know, I can compartmentalize things, and I have the ability to, as you've seen, being with the radio show, to, you know, to multitask. I can be interviewing or talking to somebody on the radio, on my radio show. I can be reading a story on the internet. I can be taking text. I can be checking the app. I have that ability. My brain has always been pretty good. And because of that, I've never had a planner. Back in the old days when you had the day planners, and I never had one, and I don't have a planner in my phone. I keep things in my brain. Well, maybe time to start getting a planner. And, you know, because I have, yeah, and listen, I'm only 61, and I still think I'm sharp mentally, but cognitive function maybe not as sharp as I was at 41 or 51, because I've started getting some things confused. Like this morning, I was scheduled to speak to the Tuscaloosa Morning Rotary Club over at Indian Hills Country Club, and they had sent me the date, which is the 13th, which is tomorrow. Some reason, Chase, I got it in my head this week that it was today, and I knew that it was, I knew the date, I just screwed up. So I don't normally get up at 5:45 in the morning, I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't get up that early. You have to, but I don't. And I might lay in the bed, and, well, you told you I've never been a great, you know, sleep a ton, but I don't get up. I usually don't get up out of the bed for this radio show until, yeah, about 7:45, and then I come in sweats or whatever. But I had to get up because the meeting starts at, well, the breakfast is at 7. I was going to speak at 7:20. I wanted to get there early. So I got up at 5:45. I got up, I showered, I shaved, I dressed up, and just figured I'd be dressed for the day. And I get there at 6:40. Well, when I pull in, there's two or three cars in the parking lot. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess I am early, you know? So I sat there for about 5 minutes. I said, well, I'll go on in. So I go in, and there's not a soul in the room. It's all laid out, tablecloths and all that, but there's nobody there. So I texted my contact, and I'm like, well, I'm here. And he was like, hang on, I'll read you the text here. I'm here. Hey, Gary, I'm so sorry. I think there was a miscommunication. Our club meets Thursday at 7 a.m. So sorry about the confusion. And then I immediately was like, it's on me. I confused the dates. I'll be back tomorrow. So I'll see you then. So my point is, maybe I need to start, instead of having it, because I haven't had to do that, because again, my brain has worked well that when I laid a day out in my brain, I can almost see it like you would see a day planner. I can see it. This is what I got at this time, you know, but I'm starting to miss some things, and I'll be at work and I'll be editing video or something like that. And I'll get a call, or I'll have to get up and somebody will ask, and I'll come back, and later on in the day, I'll realize, well, I never finished editing that video. That, you know what I'm saying? Just little small things, attention to, and same thing here on the radio. And again, I'm letting you guys behind the curtain a little bit on my radio show, and I'm not saying, I'm not knocking anybody that does, but Chase knows there's no notes. I see where other people, you know, that are very good at what they do, but, well, they'll lay out their, you know, they'll have a, you know, 7:45 we do this, at 7:50 we do this. I just kind of wing it. That's the way I like to do it. I like it to be conversational, but I have started forgetting things. So anyway, maybe I need to step it up a little bit and start being a little more organized, but I don't want to be too organized because I don't want this show to be, you know, I don't want a rundown. You have to do a rundown. You have to do scripts. You have to do all that because you have a technical director and they have to be able to follow the show. Chase and I just kind of worked this together. I don't need a rundown. But maybe I need to at least maybe keep some notes. So even we talk about my SEC point spread predictions. They're just handwritten. You know, I just write them down and pick them. Hey, let's go ahead and take a phone call in this segment. And we'll get to Tom, and then Corey, you hold tight over there in Trustful. We'll get to you in the next segment, give you plenty of time. But the sheriff is going to lead us off. Hey, Tom. Can you relate to anything I said? I kind of get the feeling your personality is a little bit like mine, that you probably just keep right. Things in your brain too.
Well, and I'm older than you are, so I kind of been through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did you notice when it started slipping a little bit?
Yeah, I sure did. And I read as you get older, I think you've already done this, is you've changed your diet around. And
I try, but I still am addicted to sugar. I've got a sugar addiction, so it's hard.
Well, there's your problem. And when I eliminated sugar, my memory got better.
Yeah.
And
it will
sugar will deteriorate your function. You
Everything.
Know what I mean?
I think
sugar is a major contributor to Alzheimer's.
Everything.
I really do.
And there's nothing. There's nothing good about sugar, especially processed. I mean, it's
that's
just.
Exactly right.
And I battle it. You know, I'm not an alcoholic. I don't do drugs. I'm not. You know, but I tell people this, and I don't mind telling people this because you know it's not like cocaine. I mean, it's not going to make you do something crazy. It's not illegal. But I am a sugar addict. I'll give you an example. When I go off sugar and wean myself off, I can be off of it 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 2 months. But you let me have one glass of iced tea with sugar, or you let me have one donut, or you let me have one piece of cake, and it triggers it, man. You know? So you're right.
Yeah.
I try to limit it, and I do try to eat as healthy as I can. But yeah, I recognize that I'm addicted to sugar. I really am.
Well, I'm the same way. And but I'm like you. I'll go for a long time, and then one little granule of sugar. I tell you who I'm like. You remember that movie John Travolta was in, Michael?
An angel? He was an angel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember it vaguely. I don't know that I ever watched it all the way through, but I'm very familiar with the movie, yeah.
I was going to tell you, Michael, when he got to Earth, you know, he liked to partake of the good things on
Earth. Earthly things, yeah.
And sugar was one of the main things. He got a cup of coffee. He was like pouring sugar in that coffee. I got tickled. I told my wife, I said, that's me right there. That's me. But anyway, yeah, I hope that was helpful. But you know the score already. You don't need me to tell you. But I was going to tell you, I called in about Denny Hamlin and losing the races. Championship. So I read a very interesting article. I was going to pass it on to you, and you could bring it up to Matt if you wanted to. But Denny said they had that car set up for long runs. And he said had he made a long run at the end of that race, he would have won the championship. And then Larry Mack was in on that conversation, and he said that the hardest track ever set up for was Phoenix. He said you have to set up, you have to hit the combination right for, and Rag and Gloria understand what I'm talking about. He said you've got to hit the combination right for a long run on that track, but you have to have enough adjustment where you can make it for a short run and find that combination in between. I thought that was fascinating from Larry Mack. And I was going to pass that along to you because I know maybe y'all may touch on why he lost and this, that, and the other. And I thought that was some interesting information about. I just wonder what that adjustment is. Is it the length of the chassis? Do they have those jack screws where they can lengthen that that car out a little bit? I don't know what the deal is there.
Well, I don't understand enough about setups yet. I couldn't. Now, Matt probably is listening. And if he is, maybe he can address it. But all I know is watching the race, and I was watching the race. Especially, you know, I didn't watch it all, but I was flipping back and forth with the NFL, but I watched the end. I just thought that because everybody else was taking two tires, grab that phone, Chase, if you don't mind. I just thought that he would take two tires, but maybe the setup dictated that he couldn't. They had to take four based on the way the car was set up. But I just thought he lost too much track position. Now, I do believe this. Had it not been in overtime, and, you know, instead of three laps, there was six laps, eight laps, 10 laps, he'd have won the race. He'd have gotten back up there. He was destined to win that race until he wasn't destined to win it.
Right. That's what he said.
And when William Byron blew the tire, it changed everything, and it goes to show you that sometimes you just do think that you're not meant. Maybe he's not meant to be a series champion, and he's got 60 wins. He's You know, he's arguably, particularly the over 40 guys, he's better than Keselowski. He's better than Bush. I mean, they've slipped, but he hasn't slipped. He's racing better than he's ever raced, and he had the race won. And then a guy blows a tire. You know, it's just you know, you just shake your head and say, you know what? What can we do? Like he said, there's nothing else that we could have done other than, I guess, again, not understanding how the race set up. I mean, when everybody else is taking two tires and you take four and you lose that track position, to me, that's on a short run, that's a disadvantage, but who knows?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say this, and then I'm getting out of the way. The conversation, the article, piqued my interest, and I'm trying to do a deep dive on Ryan Blaney's crew chief and see if I can find anything out of him. But Hamlin compared the winning the championship to just like Dale Earnhardt, how he had to chase Daytona.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He didn't think he was going to win it.
All right, thank you, Tom. Appreciate that. All right, we need to get to the break. It's 9:19. We're going to come back. We're going to get to Corey and Trustful and Mary in Atlanta, and then Matt Coulter with more NASCAR coming up at the bottom of the hour. The Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sport. As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Get into the Gary Harris Show. Matt Coulter coming up in the next segment. Right now, let's get to some phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline, 205-342-9904. Corey and Trustful is ready to rock and roll. Hey, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Very well, thank you.
How confident are you that Alabama will be able to protect Ty Simpson? And because that's going to be the key to the game, because I don't think Alabama is just going to be able to line up and get positive yards consistently against Oklahoma. I mean, they're going to have to I mean, sure, I'd like to get 4 or 5 yards at carry, but I just don't think you're going to get that against Oklahoma. I think you're going to have to rely on big plays in the passing game, and I don't know, man. It's going to be tough sledding going against their defense, and I just think that I have a feeling that if you'd hate to see Ty Simpson on his butt all game, but that's the challenge we're facing here, because Brent Venables is going to send the house just about every time, and it's going to be hard for the offensive line to keep Ty upright, because you can't go in this game one-dimensional and expect to come out victorious, because that's just asking too much against this type of defense.
Okay, there's a little bit to process there. Number one, how confident I am that they can protect, the offensive line can protect Ty Simpson. I'm fairly confident. Do I think Oklahoma's going to get to him some? Sure. I mean, they're good up front. I think Alabama's going to have a good plan, and I do think they understand that for whatever reasons, the running game has not been as effective as we would like to see it, but I think that Ryan Grubb will have a good plan to attack Oklahoma. And whether it's getting the ball out of Ty's hand early, short routes, predetermined routes early in the game, maybe not running as much on first down, trying to avoid second longs, I think that they'll have an opportunity to be able to make some plays against that Oklahoma secondary. So having now to address what you're talking about, you know, because the running game has not been good. How do you factor that in? And like I said, I think that you can – there's things that they do in the pass game to kind of offset not having a running game. There's design plays, whether they're gadget plays or whatever, that they treat a lot like a run. But I would like to see them be able to line up and run the ball some. But I think this, Corey, I just have confidence that they're going to have a good plan and be ready to go on offense. I think that the last couple of games, the offense has not been up to par. Some of that, I think, has to do with the fact that they've been eyeballing this game. I do think this is a priority game. Not that they're all not priority. They're all important. But they remember what happened out there last year, the players that returned, and they know how good Venables is on defense. They know what Oklahoma was able to do to them last year. And so I am confident that Alabama will have a good plan to go up against that Oklahoma defense. That's the best way I can answer that.
What is your early lean on Texas-Georgia?
Georgia? I mean, it just is what it is. And now listen, could Texas go in there and win? Absolutely. But based on history, based on what we've seen since Texas came into this league, I'm picking Georgia. It's in Athens. I mean, the only team that can beat Georgia and Athens, it appears, is Alabama. So my early lean is what is going to be my lean. I'm gonna ride Georgia now until somebody else beats them.
And then what about tomorrow with Alabama versus Purdue? You said it's a payback game.
I like Alabama.
Yeah. I think they have like a 7-foot center, I think.
No, they do. And they got Braden Smith, their point guard. I mean, they're good. They're good, and they wear you down, and they're tough, and they're physical, and they're well-coached. Matt Painter does a great job, and it's not going to be an easy game. But I like Alabama at home. I do. So, hey, Corey, I got two other phone calls I got to get to, my friend. Good to hear from you. I'm disappointed you at Trustful went down last week, but there's always next year.
Put it this way, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, you said that. All right, thank you, buddy. Good to hear from you.
Good talk to you, Roll Tide.
Thank you, Corey. Let's get to Mary over in the ATL, and then we'll hit AC before we close it out. Hey, Mary.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Doing well. Good to hear from you.
Good. I'm sorry I haven't been able to call as much as I have been, just working retail throughout the holidays.
Oh, I understand.
It's been absolutely insane. And I've worked overtime for the past 2 weeks, and I'm exhausted.
Oh, I bet.
But looking forward to seeing y'all this weekend. I'll be in town Friday for a little bit. But the one thing that I wanted to ask, because it popped up in an interview I heard yesterday with Ryan, how confident are you that Quay Rousseau could come back Saturday to play?
Well, I don't know, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't have a confidence meter either way. I mean, the availability report comes out tonight. And if there is a possibility that he's going to play in the game, he's supposed to be listed as either doubtful or probable. If he's listed as out, then he is out. So we'll know more tonight. I really don't know. Do I think he's going to come back and play at some point this season? Yes. I don't have a confidence meter one way or the other on Saturday. But we'll know tonight.
All right. Well, I mean, I feel like he could be a difference maker if he's able to. But like you said, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, he is a difference maker. And the thing about it is, though, is he's a difference maker because he's got outstanding athletic ability. He's got quick twitch. He can get off the edge. Yeah. He can beat you with power or speed. But he has to be healthy.
Sure.
And if he's not if he's not ready to go, they're not going to rush him back, because that's the thing. If you do put him on the field, you want him to be able to play, even if it's for 15 snaps, you want him to be able to play all out. So my guess is that he won't play this weekend, but we'll learn more tonight.
Okay, well, I mean, I hope he can. If not, you know, we just want him back healthy. And I know y'all got to get the break, so I'm looking forward to seeing y'all this weekend.
Yeah, we'll see you. Looking forward to Friday. Friday's at the Free. Come by and it's free. All right, thank you, Mary. And let's close out the segment with AC. What's up, AC?
Hey, thanks so much for taking my call. Good talking to you, man.
It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. You see, what's the problem with this Crimson Crybabies? You have two callers. There's our Mr. Ryan Fowler's lap dog. Hey, Ryan, can you please give me confidence about the Crimson Crybabies? And Mr. Fowler riled them up, and they fall for it. You see what's going on here? Oklahoma made you nervous. Good. Great. You think you can win the championship this season? Not the SEC, but national championship? Not with that running game you have going on. In order to fix your problem, you need an offseason. There's no offseason. So it doesn't matter. I cannot wait for the Crimson Crybabies to cry. Nick Saban, time is over. Get comfortable with losing, because Saban's not going to save you. You know who's going to save them, right? Do you know who's going to save them?
Tell me. I don't.
I'm glad. That'll be AC, the tribal chief. I'll remind you, Kalen DeBoer will fail you. And this Saturday, here comes your second loss. Even if you don't, good luck in the playoffs, because Big Ten is about to win a three-peat. This is not a prediction. This is a spoiler. Put the music up, because I am the guy. We run the show. Thank you.
AC from Bangladesh. All right, we'll get to the timeout here, and then we'll come back. It's 9:30 with Matt Coulter. Our final NASCAR segment for 2025. Kind of put a bow on everything that's NASCAR, and you'll probably talk a little football with Matt as well. So he'll be with us next as the Gary Harris Show rolls on. Let me remind you, too, that the YMCA of Tuscaloosa, I said this yesterday, Chase, and I'll repeat myself, don't wait until January. And don't say, well, you know what, I'm going to be going to holiday parties, Thanksgiving, I'm not eating healthy. I get it, and diet is so important, and I battle it. I just got to telling you that. But at the same time, you can still work out. You know, even you don't have to say, well, I'm going to wait until January the 2nd, and then I'm going to clean up my diet, and I'm going to get in the gym. Go ahead and start that conditioning now. I mean, you know, stay active, and then it'll be a lot easier for you once you kick your diet back in and so forth. The YMCA can help you with all of that. Jeff Knox, the CEO, the entire staff, man, they're outstanding. Personal training, too. Great personal trainers. Look into that. All right, we'll come back with Matt Coulter right here on the Gary Harris Show.
Saturday, December 27th, Pearl River Resort Silver Star Convention Center. Tickets on sale now at pearlriverresort.com.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and at
thread.com. Your West Alabama High School football score updates are presented by Bevel State Community College, Congressman Robert Adderholt, and Taco Casa.
Need to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Then subscribe to our YouTube channel for exclusive content on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone. All alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and racing and plotting a course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse.
All right, welcome back into the Gary Harris Show, 9:34. And you know, if you follow the show, that Matt Coulter and I take a break for the NASCAR segment a little bit for the holidays, and we come back early in the new year to get ready for Daytona. And we kind of wrapped it up last week. We talked mainly, of course, about the race at Phoenix and Larson's championship and Hamlin's heartbreak. But I decided to see if Matt wanted to do one more segment to just kind of put a bow on it and look ahead to 2026 before we take our hiatus. Good morning, Matt.
Hello, Gary. How's everything in Tuscaloosa?
It's great. Beautiful morning. And, man, it's been a little cool, but Saturday for the football game, can you believe they're talking about 74 at kickoff? So that's going to be great.
It should be great. It'll be a great defensive battle because both teams can play on that side of the football.
Yeah, they
but
can.
Anyway, we may talk about that.
You'll be here, and we will touch on a little bit. All right, let's get to, because last week we both were, I don't know if stunned's the right word on to use, but on Sunday I think we were both, even though I'm not a Hamlin fan and you're not, you know, he's not your favorite driver either, but I think it you and I both felt like the time was right. He had an incredible season. There was no Fords to have to contend with as far as the championship at Phoenix.
Right.
And it was his. It was his race. And, you know, then two or three laps to go, whatever it was, William Byron blows a tire. And, you know, next thing you know, Denny's putting on four. And that's where I'm going to start, because Tom called in. And I don't know if you were you listening when Tom called in by any chance, Matt?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, I'll try to. Anyway, setup. And again, I don't know enough about, I don't know about race car setups. I do know long runs, short runs. You know, you ideally, you have a perfect race, you have a car that can handle both. But Denny, according to Tom, had said they were set up for the long runs. Phoenix is a hard track to set up for. Long runs, they were great. You know, he knew that they were in trouble possibly on a short run. I don't know if that's why he took four tires, but we go back to, you know, you're in an overtime situation, and by taking four tires, he lost a lot of track position. And I guess we touched on this last week. I didn't know if you've studied it more as to why, and I guess maybe it had something to do with his car. That was what was best for their car. But by not taking two tires, it just seems like there wasn't enough time left. Listen, if it's 5 laps, 6 laps, 8 laps, there's no doubt, Matt, he gets back to the top and he wins the front. Right. He wins the race. But any more thoughts on that decision to go with four tires instead of two?
Yeah, I have thoughts, but most of them are based on what I've read.
Yeah.
In fact, they just made a mistake.
Yeah.
And it was a mistake that was obvious to Matt and Gary. And, you know, I heard, you know, not necessarily whispers, but I heard some of the other teams say that was kind of odd because he fell back to 10th with a green-white checkered with overtime in front of him. So it surprises me. I think he handled it very well because a Hamlin of old might have jumped on his crew for the call. But evidently, you know, Hamlin is the crew chief inside of that car, too. I think he must have agreed with it or they wouldn't have done it, you know, probably. But anyway, I think it's okay. I guess I'll say it, but it blew a shot at a championship. He should have won it.
And we
touched. Hamlin only took two. Look what happened to him.
We touched on this last week too. Of what Denny did this season. When you look at Keselowski and Busch. Neither won a race, although Keselowski almost won that last race. I mean, he lost by, you know, a nose or whatever to Blaney. But Hamlin's still driving it. You know, he had his, you know, other than winning the championship, he probably had the best season of any driver out there. I mean, he was phenomenal. And if he'd won the championship, it would have been, you know, the crowning achievement of his career. But the fact that he's doing this in his 40s, and you're looking at Keselowski and Busch, they can't win a race. I don't guess either one of them's won a race. When's the last time either one of them won a race? It's been a while. So give Denny props for that.
Yeah. And as what happened with Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski, you got to bear with me. I've got a little bit of cold.
Hang in there.
Oh, I will. It's just that time of the year and the temperature changed so severe.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have to say it's because of Hendrick. Although Hamlin, I think, is the better driver of the three right now. I don't know if that was necessarily true 10 years ago. But I think he is still up on the wheel. Maybe not like Brad Kay and Kyle Busch are. But he also has Hendrick Motorsports behind him, and they just win a lot of races, period.
So yeah, they do.
I think that has a lot to do with Hamlin's success.
All right, let's kind of look ahead a little bit because we'll, after this segment, like I said, we'll take a hiatus for a while. I think the Daytona 500, and again, you know, when you start looking, because NASCAR, they're not stealth, but they keep things a lot of things under wraps until they actually unveil them. But I think the Daytona 500 is scheduled for February 15th.
I looked it up, but it might be the 13th.
Okay.
But I do know it's 2 weeks into 2 weeks into February.
Okay. So of course they'll be, you know, they take a little break for the holidays and all those teams will convene in Daytona in January and they'll start going to work. Chevrolet is looking, I think, to unveil a new body type for their cars in 2026. Is that correct, Matt? You know anything about that?
No, you know, I really don't.
Okay.
By the way, it's been announced as part of the schedule, just to throw this in, and I love the race, but the Clash will be at the Bowman again, that little bitty track, so that's cool. But, no, I have not heard about any design changes, but I had, I guess, been
okay.
You've obviously heard.
Well, I've just been reading some notes, trying to get a. But I mean, I saw, and again, it was just one of those little conversational type forums that said that Chevrolet was looking to unveil a new body style in 2026, but nothing official. Again, nothing official. Also, I read that Chicagoland Speedway is coming back on the Cup Series schedule. If that's the case, does that mean that the street race will be gone or what?
That's a great question. I did read that the Chicago landowners were announcing that, but I kind of like the street race.
I do too. That's the one I do like a lot. It's fun.
I don't know. I don't know how that's going to affect it. Although the schedule's out, I guess they could dial it up and look around here a little bit.
Yeah. But I think if it is Chicagoland and they take the street race off the schedule, everybody other than SVG will be happy about that. That's for sure. And, of course, we've known this for a while. The championship race in 2026 will be at Homestead, Miami. And I think most of the drivers are happy about that, aren't they, Matt?
I agree 100%. They like Phoenix, but that for some reason, the track design, maybe it's the heat and the weather, how that affects the tires and the car. But you just said it, and it's true. They love Miami.
Daniel Suarez going to Spire Motorsports for 2026. So that's, of course, that's been out for a while, but that's a driver move. And I'm sure there'll probably be some other driver moves that we don't know about that'll be announced. Don't you think, Matt? There usually are.
Yeah, and we talked about the biggest move that everybody's really interested in, and that's Connor Zilich.
Yeah,
coming
yeah.
out of track house. And it's going to be real interesting to see how that young man, who I think will enter the season at the mere age of 19, it's going to be very interesting to see how he works. I said last week, I think he's going to burst on the scene much as William Byron did. You know, when he came on the scene, he had such a great track record on the Truck Series and the Xfinity Series. Byron came on the scene. I think Connor Zilich may be even bigger, be a bigger boom than that. By the way, there is another thing I wanted to bring up. There was going to be a change, but this is more in the sponsorship. We talked about this when it happened because it's such a mouthful, but Xfinity will now be the O'Reilly Auto Parts. That's a mouthful.
Oh, wow.
Diving down from the race. It'll be the O'Reilly Auto Parts series.
Oh, boy. You know, that's the one thing about golf and racing, man. Just when you get used to something, they switch the spot. You know, Xfinity Series sounds so cool. It's so easy, like you said. And now we have to get used to O'Reilly Auto Parts Series. Anyway, we'll make the adjustment. But Xfinity.
Sometimes I wonder when you lengthen the name like that if you don't get it used less. But, I mean, what are you going to call it?
Hey, they're paying the money. They've got to get the
big bucks.
Yeah, they got to get their name out there. So. In the end, you just don't want to say O'Reilly. You want to say Auto Parts because you want that to resonate. Uh-huh. And you know, we'll get used to it. We always do. Hey, let me ask you about this because this is, again, something I don't know. If there's a manufacturer change, in other words, if there's a team going from Ford to Chevy or Toyota to Ford or anything like that, that's usually announced well in advance. In other words, if there were going to be teams that were going to be making manufacturer changes, we'd already know about it, right? Or did that?
Yeah,
is that,
I think so.
Yeah. So you expect everybody that was running, all the teams that were Chevy teams, all the teams that were Toyota teams, and all the teams that were Ford teams to be back?
Yeah, I don't. It's a good question, but I hadn't heard anything, anybody making changes like that. You know, they've pretty much stayed that way for the last several years.
Yeah, and the other question I always ask you is, I, of course, I know it's a lot of money, man. There's a lot of money that goes into financing manufacturers on the NASCAR circuit, but I just wish they could get a fourth manufacturer. Is there any is that something that NASCAR, are they just happy with having three, or do you think they would welcome a fourth manufacturer if they could get one?
I think they'd welcome it in a heartbeat. You know, you hear thoughts of Honda, but other than that, I really don't hear about anything else.
Yeah,
it used to be Buick.
Oh, it used to be so many. Dodge, Mobile, Buick, yeah. Chevrolet, Ford, AMC, Pacers. I mean, there was Pontiac. I mean, Pontiacs were famous,
yeah.
You know? Yeah, I mean, I liked it. The more the merrier is the way I kind of looked at it. But thank goodness
right,
for –
I'm looking at the schedule. Right. You're right. It is the Daytona 500 this year is on the 15th.
Okay.
Sunday, so. I'll keep trying to look here while we talk about Chicago.
Yeah, I'd be curious to whether or not they'll keep that street race if they're going to run the Chicagoland Speedway. Because, I mean, every time they add a race has to be dropped, right? I mean, that's a track has to be dropped. I mean, that's just the way it works.
Yeah. That's the way it is. But, all right, I'll keep looking here.
All right, well, that's fine. Let me ask you this. Early thought. Now, Larson has two. Logano has three. Bunch of guys have one. I said bunch. A number of guys have one. Is there anybody else other than Logano and Larson that are currently driving that have more than one?
I mean, Kyle Busch out.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about Kyle Busch. He's got to have one. Hang on. Let me see. Because Keselowski's just got one, right?
I think that's the only one, and that was 10 years ago.
Yeah. And Elliott's only got one, right?
Right.
Let me see how many Busch has got. I think you're right. Yeah, Busch has won two. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. 2015 and 2019. So you've got Logano, Busch, Larson. And I think that might be it as far as the – anyway, Mike, where I'm going with this is who would be a handful of drivers, I guess it's the same maybe as this year, a handful of drivers that you think are the favorites to win it in 2026?
Oh, golly, do you lead with Hamlin? Everybody you just mentioned I think would be favorites. Is there anybody – let's look at it this way. I'll kind of throw it back in your direction. Is there anybody we may not be thinking about other than the big five or six that were in it and could have another one? Or maybe when there is, somebody's going to win their first one, who's it going to be?
That's a great question. That's a great, great, great question.
You know, Briscoe almost did it this year.
You'd have to look at Briscoe. And by the way, there are just three drivers that have multiple championships. Logano, Larson, and Busch. That's it. That's it. Won their first. They've made a lot of progress. Consistency's been an issue. They've got the money, they've got the funding, they got the commitment from the owner. Do you think somebody with 23-11? Do you think Bubba Wallace might be a candidate to? Win a championship.
I do, for all the reasons you just mentioned, and I think Bubba's won a race on just about, we know he's won a super speedway. Yeah. He's won a Talladega, but yeah. I think he's won races at different venues that would lead you to think that maybe he's got a better shot.
And his teammate Tyler Reddick certainly, I think, has to be considered a championship contender.
Yeah, I think I'd pick Tyler over Bubba.
So those could be two.
Here's another thing. Things are popping in my head. Carson Hocevar signed for like three more years.
Did he?
And I know we talked about him last time, but somebody's going to rough him up.
Yeah, they are.
Anyway, all right. Back to the championship. Who else would win it besides the big ones? Maybe a Ty Gibbs. I don't know.
Ty Gibbs is at some point is going to be there because, again, they've got the resources. He's a young driver that's had to learn, but he's got talent. So yeah, those kind of guys, you go from being, young but when you've got the resources and you get the experience, you always have a chance. And so, any of these drivers that are with these major teams that have not won a championship, whether it's Dylan or Austin Cindric or, it goes on and on, Christopher Bell. You got guys that, their time could come anytime.
You mentioned Bell. Bell may be the guy. He won the regular season championship.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. Yeah. Which gets completely overlooked, but it's a big deal.
Yeah. Well, it shows what you can do through 26 races.
Yeah.
For sure.
It does. And Kyle Larson's a good driver, like we've talked about. Kyle Larson's interesting to me because, I hate to say he just fell into this championship, but he did. He did, and he's got two. And we know he's good.
He kind of said that, too.
Yeah, we know he's a good driver, but the guy's never won a super speedway race. He's this era's version of Mark Martin, I guess. He's just, until he wins a super speedway race, as talented as he is and as good as he is on most tracks, it's like you said about Bobby Allison, the top drivers, and whether, they could win on any track, just about any kind of race car. That's part of being great is being able to accomplish it on every type of track. And for whatever reason, that guy just has not been a super speedway driver.
Which is odd because Hendricks has won there before.
Oh, absolutely.
Chase Elliott. So, Seems like he'd have gathered one of those. All right, I've looked up very quickly, and I don't see a Chicago road course, but I remember us talking about this. They're going to do one in San Diego. So
in the street?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a beautiful city, so that'll be fun.
We should go to that.
Yeah, I need to start going to some of these races as much as I like them. But, you know, this is one thing, Matt, you have, though, people always look at local sportscasters and say, man, it's great, you know, but local sportscasters are tied up much more than, you know, people that do podcasts or do internet stuff or, you know, because, I mean, the grind of a local sportscaster is not a lot different than it was 20, 30 years ago. So,
yeah, if you're doing it right.
It's harder to get to events that are outside of your coverage.
Yeah.
Circle, you know, and it's just, and that's funny that we got to, well, we've gone over, we're going to close out the segment here in a minute, but it's funny that, you know, I've talked about this, the rules of engagement for people on the internet and podcasters and, you know, just say anything they want, you know, local TV, we're still following our FCC guidelines, all great. You know, I can't go, if I go on the TV, local sportscast tonight and I use a vulgarity, I'm going to get fired. Well, yeah, we're still held to a standard that a lot of people aren't. But that's a good thing.
I'm glad, and you do it well. And I know we're over, so I'll let you go. We'll talk football again sometime soon. But remember the pre and post game shows. I'm sorry, this cold got me.
Well, you hung in there nicely. Have fun.
I'm gonna go see the doctor, and I'll see you soon.
All right, have fun on Saturday. All right, thank you, Matt. 9:53 here on the Gary Harris Show, and let me talk to you about my friends at Game Day Health, because it's time to get in the game, man. If you are dealing with issues that allow you or won't allow you to feel your best, whether it's fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, weight gain, those aren't just everyday annoyances. They can be signs that your body needs support. At Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. When you go into Game Day Men's Health right here in Tuscaloosa at 1013th Street, it's a beautiful facility. They're waiting to greet you. I know, I've been through the process. And in 15 minutes, they're going to have your blood work done and let you know what areas that you need help in. And they're going to put you in a customized treatment plan right away. And you're going to start feeling better very, very soon. You can expect boosted energy levels, improved motivation and mood, deeper, more restful sleep, reduced belly fat, stronger workouts, and faster muscle recovery. Yes, all that at Game Day Men's Health. Get in the game. Game Day Men's Health, 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa, and tell them that Gary Harris sent you. We'll be right back after this.
Thank you to all of our wonderful customers. If you need us, call or text 205-553-0958.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages,
Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The warming trend continues today. The sky's sunny, the high 65. Clear tonight, the low 41. Tomorrow and Friday, lots of sunshine both days. The high tomorrow 70, the high Friday afternoon, a mild 73 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 54 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show. Streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
I'll be here till the end of time. So you've got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? It's always
The Clash. Yes. Yeah, that's going to wrap it up for hour number one. This hour has been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, member-owned and not-for-profit. It's just a better way of banking. Hour number two, Larry the Music Man at 10:30. More of your phone calls. We'd love to get some more calls in. We were busy in the first hour with calls, as always, 205-342-9904. And going to dive back into this weekend coming up in SEC football. Not just Alabama and Oklahoma, but a big schedule of games. And listen, things could be flipped a little bit. What if Texas beats Georgia? What if Oklahoma beats Alabama? Woo! So we'll get into that in the second hour of the Gary Harris Show. Keep it dialed in to Tide 100.9 FM, 1230 AM, WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
Decisions bugging me. If you don't want me, set me free. Exactly whom I'm supposed to be. Don't you know which clothes even fit me? Come on and let me know. Should I cool it or should I blow?
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The NBA announced a new format for this season's All-Star Game, the U.S. against the world in Los Angeles in February. Two teams of American All-Stars, one team of international players in a round-robin format, a total of four 12-minute games. The Mavericks fired general manager Nico Harrison. Philadelphia edged Boston 102-100. The Celtics record 5-7. Indiana's now 1-10 after losing at Utah 152-128. Brooklyn's 1-10 after losing at home to Toronto 119-109. Champion Oklahoma City is 11-1 so far after ripping Golden State 126-102. Warriors record just 6-6. And New York won its fifth in a row 133-120 over
Memphis. For new auto insurance business, rates will vary by several factors, including how you purchase the policy. Potential savings may vary. Allstate North American Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
The Gary Harris Show. UCM host Tider Insider TV. Crimson Tide kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. Welcome into hour number two of the Gary Harris Show. It is 10:04 on this Wednesday, November the 12th, 2025. I'm Gary Harris, Chase Brunfeld alongside. In this hour, I'm going to dive into this weekend's college football schedule in the SEC because, you know, listen, we're getting down to, we're getting down to cases. I mean, and some cases can be made this weekend for teams that are chasing a little bit. What I mean by that is Texas has two losses. Oklahoma has two losses. Georgia has one loss. Alabama has one loss. Those teams are hosting. Georgia hosts Texas. Alabama hosts Oklahoma. But what if the road teams win there? It could flip the SEC on its head. I don't think Texas A&M is going to lose at home to South Carolina. Okay, let me just tell you that right off the bat. Could Florida put a scare into Ole Miss and Oxford? Doubt it. But those two games, those two marquee games now have a lot to offer. We'll dive into that. Right now, though, let's jump out on the Gary Harris Show hotline, 205-342-9904, and talk to our pal, Ragged Glory. What's up, Ragged Glory?
Man, you tell me, pal, what a heck of a show for your first hour.
Thanks, man.
Man, I'm telling you. First of all, let's see here. I got to organize my thoughts. First of all, Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, please forgive me, but I have to say something to AC if he's still listening. Man, in the words of the late, great Lynyrd Skynyrd Band, Southern man don't need you around anyhow. And you are not God, and the Big Ten is not going to do it this year. There it is there. You want to come back? Call again.
You want to send him back to Bangladesh, huh?
He doesn't even know where he's from. That's all I got to say about AC.
Okay.
You know, and not even going to go down the road with Bama Neg. Anyways, secondly, Mary, if you're still listening, I support you. You're coming into town. I hope we get to see you at Innisfree. Honestly, it would be nice to put the face to the name and share a moment. Thirdly, NASCAR. Yes. Fourth, manufacturer coming in. I would give anything to see Mercedes back. Daimler Chrysler, one more time. Bring Mopar back to NASCAR.
Yeah, I'd love to see a fourth manufacturer too. I said that, whether it's that one or another one, I'd just love to see another brand of vehicle on Sundays on a cup circuit track. I think it'd be awesome. But
every single one of them, whether it's road course, super speedways, mile and a half, it's okay. Yeah. It would be nice to see the resurrection of Mopar again, even if it means Mercedes, period. That would be my manufacturer to come back. I mean, it's all laid out there. You know, it wouldn't be too hard for them to pick up the pieces and say, hey, okay, we'll do it. Honda, we don't need any more rice burners. You know me, Lord, and how I feel about all of that right there. As far as this Oklahoma coming into our stadium, Nick Saban Field, you know what? A win is a win. We already know everything we got to work on and whatnot, but I think this is going to be the tight, and everything will be fixed. Even if we win by 1 point, that's great. It sets us up. I think we can actually win the SEC championship. And watch out, the North, AC. Here we come.
All right. Thank you, Raggy Glory.
There it is there. I'll talk to you a little bit later.
All right. Appreciate it. And we appreciate Raggy Glory. I do want to say this. I didn't appreciate the one comment he made based on Honda. So let's do watch that. Okay. We're Chase and I like all types of people with wide ranging ideologies to call in on the show. We do. We appreciate it. We try to give everybody an outlet, everybody a voice, but as we've said before, this is a show we don't really talk politics in very much, and we certainly don't, you know, in terms of ethnicity, we try to, Chase, stay away from slang terms regarding anybody. So let's keep an eye on that. All right, let's keep the phone calls going, and let's get to Tommy over in Romulus, who called in on Tider Insider TV last night. Hey, Tommy, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry. Football-wise, I think we need to just focus on Oklahoma. I hear everybody talking about Ole Tide has dropped out the Heisman Trophy. If he has a good game, Alabama has a good game, we win. The main thing Saturday is beating Oklahoma. We beat Oklahoma. We take care of the problems we had last year. We listen to the noise. Oklahoma receiving corps was hurt last year. They're having problems. The coaching going to be fine. And they worked Alabama. Alabama wasn't focused. And they gave them a turnover for a touchdown. Next thing you know, Alabama was down 17-3 and finally lost 24-3. I mean, just stay focused on the task ahead. I know I sound like a broken record, but hey, that's the skill I came from. Focus on the task for today and tomorrow, the game coming up. So that's my two worthless little tips I got to say.
I hear you, Tommy, and I agree with you on Ty. Listen, this thing is very fluid, the Heisman Trophy race, and every week everybody likes to set the top candidates based on the previous game. It's about a body of work. He's had an excellent season. I thought he played, I thought he was the major reason they beat LSU. But he didn't play his best game. But you're right. If he bounces back against this defense on Saturday afternoon and has a big game, he's right back in the mix. But the main thing is to keep the main thing, and that's to win the, you know, to get in the college football playoff, possibly win an SEC championship, possibly win a national championship over. And I know you agree with me because you follow the history of Alabama football like I do. Individual awards are results, like Saban said, of a team's being good. You know, the main thing is team success first. And I think that Ty understands that. And I think that's his focus, Tommy.
Yes. I mean, like Coach Bryant and Coach Stone say, if we win the SEC, you win the national championship, that's our first goal. When you accomplish that goal, individual world become later. It's the concept of team. Team. You got 10 other players working with your offensive level of defense. They call it team. So you got to pull it together. Let's get it. And let's bring it Saturday at 2:30, the fans. Well, Gary, thank you for taking my call. And road time, my friend.
Thank you, Tommy. Great call. Yeah, you got to bring some to get some. You know, that's what I always say. You can't expect to get it unless you bring it. And, Chase, I think it's safe to say this Saturday is one of those games. You better bring your best. I think Alabama's going to win the football game. All right? I picked it last night on Tiger Insider TV 31-20. But I'm counting on Alabama bringing its best. Because this is one of those games, and we've talked about this a lot. Some games you don't have to bring your best, okay? Some games you can not play your best and win. Alabama's done that a couple of times this year. I didn't think they played well at South Carolina. They won. I didn't think they played well against LSU. They won. You don't play well against Oklahoma, I think you'll get beat. But I'm counting on Alabama playing its best. I'm counting on Alabama playing well. I'm counting on Alabama after a couple of games now where I don't think they've hit on all cylinders to be primed and ready. And I think this game fits that scenario. Oklahoma's coming off a bye. Does that make it more difficult? Sure, because they're going to have some stuff that they've put in, I'm sure, that Alabama is not going to be prepared for. They'll have to see it in the game. But you let it all hang out this week, because then you got Eastern Illinois the next week, and that's one of those games where you don't have to bring your best, okay? Alabama's going to beat Eastern Illinois regardless. So let it all hang out this week, get through next week, and then you primed again for the Iron Bowl, okay? And if you win that one, then you know you're going to Atlanta, and you got to get back up for the SEC championship game. But after that game, there's a two-week break before the playoff starts. If you win it, there'll be a three-week break before you play. So, again, it's not an easy schedule the way it sets up well in terms of, you know, Alabama played three games. They got to bye. They played that tough five-game stretch. They got to bye. They got past LSU, didn't play their best. They're primed to play a big game this Saturday. I believe that. I wouldn't say it if I didn't. I think Alabama's going to play well in the game. And then against, let's just be honest, against Eastern Illinois, that week you're going to work a lot on Auburn. That's the truth. And you're just going to try to get through that Eastern Illinois game, not get anybody hurt, and then you're going to the Iron Bowl with the idea of letting it all hang out. And then you do try to have to kind of, if win or lose in that game, if you go to Atlanta, you've got to kind of pull it together quick, because you're playing the next week for an SEC championship against a really good team, whether it's A&M or Georgia or Texas or Ole Miss, whoever it is, that game's going to be hard, really hard. But you can't worry about that game yet. You got to finish the drill. And the drill right now is Oklahoma, Eastern Illinois, and Auburn. And this Oklahoma game is a big one. All right, 10:15 here on the Gary Harris Show. And lunch is right around the corner. If you like Mexican food, and I certainly do, Chase does. Our favorite is Los Tarascos, with two locations on Highway 43 North in Northport, and the one that we frequent the most because we're right here on Skyland Boulevard, just down the street, the Skyland Boulevard location in Tuscaloosa. Atmosphere, top-notch. Service, incredible. I mean, they get your, the minute you sit down, you got the chips and salsa. They get out there, they take your order quick, and they serve it quickly. So if you're in a hurry for lunch, they'll get you in and they'll get you out. And they have a lot of lunch specials. And it's one of my favorite places, in fact. And the fajitas. And they have a fajita lunch special. Really good price that you want to take a look into. Includes your iced tea with your fajitas. All right, fajitas, whatever it may be, lunch at Los Tarascos. Why don't you try it today? All right, we're going to come back. We're open for more phone calls in the next segment. And I'm going to dive into this SEC football schedule for this weekend. We'll do that next here on the Gary Harris Show.
Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here's the Tuscaloosa Thread News headline. An incident Saturday night at Jefferson Square downtown where a driver narrowly missed hitting several pedestrians as Tuscaloosa City Council President Kip Kiner suggesting safety changes.
We really probably need to look at closing those streets off.
His comments were made on his midday program, Great Day Tuscaloosa, nearly a year after his arrest for
delay. The lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and 3 special.
This good, only at exit 45 of I-2059, where the excitement never stops and the odds are always in your favor. Bama Entertainment.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside.com.
Your West Alabama high school football score updates are presented by Bevel State Community College, Congressman Robert Adderholt, and Taco Casa.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The warming trend continues today. The sky's sunny, the high 65. Clear tonight, the low 41. Tomorrow and Friday, lots of sunshine both days. The high tomorrow 70, the high Friday afternoon, a mild 73 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 56 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
For more from Tide 100.9,
let's it fly!
On Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud.
On the cloud side, I think in the night. Any place that goes is right. Goes far, lies near. It's stars away from your world.
You don't know what you find. Why don't you come with me, little girl, on a magic carpet ride?
You don't know what
Steppenwolf. All right, 10:22. And I haven't even added up my... SEC picks from last week. Before we get into this weekend's schedule, why don't we just go ahead and do that right now? Because going into last week, I was 45-37 picking SEC games against the point spread, which is pretty good when you consider, you know, most people that handicap games, they're going to pick the games regardless of the conference that they like. I just pick them all in the SEC. Let's see how I did real quick, Chase. I had Georgia minus the 9.5 against Mississippi State. Yep, they covered that one. I had A&M minus the 6.5 against Missouri. Yeah, they covered that one. I had Vanderbilt minus the 6.5 against Auburn. I got lucky, but they covered that one. I had Alabama minus the 9.5 against LSU. They did not cover that one. And I had Kentucky plus the 3.5 against Florida. And yeah, I'd say they covered. They won 38-7. So if you add it all up, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, because there was no line on Ole Miss in the Citadel. So 4-1 last week. Pretty good, 80%. Puts me at 49-38 for the season. Wow. 11 games. Yeah. 11 games. Again, I do this for entertainment purposes only, but at 49-38, if you were taking my SEC picks every week, even with the juice involved, 11 games over 500, you'd be making some money. So really good week last week. The only team that let me down was the Crimson Tide. No, wait a minute. They did cover. Duh, what am I thinking? They won by 11. Hit that applause button again. I don't know what I was thinking. I guess I was thinking because they were so sluggish, but that late field goal put it from 17-9-29. Yes, 5-0. Fix that, Gary. Don't cheat yourself. 50-37, my friends, including a perfect 5-0 week last week. So if you took my games last week, and even though I thought it was a tough schedule in terms of the lines, if you took them last week, and you did just say, hey, I'm going to ride Gary Harris's 5 picks, you're in the money. Again, Georgia minus 9.5, big time cover. A&M minus 6.5, big time cover. Vanderbilt minus 6.5, barely cover. Alabama minus 9.5, barely cover. Kentucky plus 3.5, 138-7. All right, point spread predictions for this week come on Friday during Fridays at the Free. But I do want to talk about this schedule coming up because, as I said earlier, I'm pretty proud of that 50-37. You know who doesn't call in much anymore? Remember Chuck, who used to always call about my point spreads and track me on them? I don't know what's going on with Chuck. Chuck, I don't know what happened to you, but you used to always track my picks. I wish you were tracking them this year because you'd be having some fun. 50-37. Don't know what happened to Chuck. I hadn't heard from him in a long time. All right, point spread predictions coming on Friday. Right now I'm just looking at the games. Listen, things happen in this league. I say you got to be ready every week, but A&M is going to beat South Carolina. Arkansas at LSU, hey, there's a lot of pride in those two programs. It's a rivalry game. Outside of that, who cares? Tennessee Tech at Kentucky, bleh, not watching that one. New Mexico State at Tennessee, bleh, not watching that one. Mississippi State at Missouri, it's SEC, but who cares? Florida at Ole Miss, I mean, I'd be shocked if you know, Ole Miss got burned by Kentucky last year. You know, is Kiffin going to be a candidate at Florida? Maybe. Either way, he wants to probably put a beat down on them, show that either, hey, this is what you'd be getting. Plus, he doesn't want Ole Miss to get off the rails like they did last year. So that leaves you really with two games. Oklahoma at Alabama, Texas at Georgia. All right, Alabama and Georgia are the favorites, should be, at home. I think both Alabama and Georgia will win. But if they don't, oh boy, could be chaos in the SEC. All right, if A&M wins, they're still undefeated in the league. If Ole Miss wins, they just have one loss in the league. But if Texas wins, that hands Georgia a second SEC loss. They have two losses, but only one in the league. If Oklahoma wins, that hands Alabama its first loss. Oklahoma still has two losses in the league. But it could get crazy for that final regular season week of SEC games. A&M versus Texas. Alabama versus Auburn. Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl against Mississippi State. So this is a big weekend. Now, if the chalk holds, status quo holds, and Georgia beats Texas and Alabama beats Oklahoma, it's a lot less confusing because then Oklahoma and Texas are out, in my opinion. I think if they lose, you know, three losses, I just don't see them getting in the playoff. Alabama will be undefeated and would be guaranteed a tie at worst with Ole Miss for a spot in the SEC championship game, even if they lost to Auburn. A&M would be undefeated, and so you could still have Ole Miss, Georgia, and A&M potentially with three losses, one loss teams for a spot in Atlanta, and then you get in tiebreakers and all that. But if Oklahoma and Texas were to win, then it really gets confusing. All right, 10:28. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Larry the Music Man, and we'll have some fun with that. He loves to take phone calls. You know the drill, 205-342-9904. We'll be right back talking some music right here on the Gary Harris Show.
Perfect play call for your party. So, before kickoff, remember that football starts with Foo. Foo Sackley's, proud partner of the Crimson Tide.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and
the Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Dark clouds are blowing. He's crossing your mind again. You
said last week,
they want to talk a little Pure Prairie League as we talk about, you know, groups, bands from the 70s, maybe that weren't superstars, but that certainly played, you know, a big part in our memories. And Pure Prairie League is one of those. Such a melodic band. Of course, featured Vince Gill for a few years. Sure did. But they had numerous hits. But again, they're often overlooked, as is the case with a number of these groups. Hey, Larry, good morning.
Gary, good morning. Let me get this straight right off. I have a hard time hearing in my left ear from years of music.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely closed.
It's Lord.
Chalked up. So if I talk loud, y'all bear with me.
Okay.
I'm having to put this right in my right ear. Gary, we know Pure Prairie League. I said I was going to do five groups every week to try to cover and give value to each band. But Pure Prairie League was big in the early 70s. They had Amy, of course.
That's right.
Still,
great song. Mm-hmm.
Still hugely played.
Mm-hmm.
Tulane Blackhawk. Well, they went through some changes in the late 70s, and Vince Gill came in, and they said, we're going to do something different. We're going to do something totally different, and you might can call this yacht rock. They brought David Sanborn in on that beautiful sax intro, and this hit, man, this thing was big on the radio. That was Vince Gill on vocals, and he left the band in 1982 to pursue a solo career, and I guess that's another story there. But what I'm doing is, well, actually, Vince went with Rodney Crowell in the Cherry Bombs. He played with them for a long time before he started hitting, you know, in his solo career.
Mm-hmm.
And but there, in the groups I've got listed, this is the wildest thing. These are groups that started out with one genre and changed. The ones I'm going to list is mind-blowing. They took a chance and changed and hit big in what they changed to, and you just don't see that much. And the second group would be Exile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know what they did on the Mixed Emotions album? You know, I Want to Kiss You All.
Oh,
over.
Yeah, huge hit.
Huge
mega hit.
Then came back. 78.
Yeah, it came out later, had it as a country hit.
Hey, they moved. Jimmy Stokey left the band. He's the one that did the vocals on that. Killer vocals. He left the band in 79, and they decided they're going country. And the rest is, man, and did they go country? I mean, they were one of the biggest acts in the 80s. With their country format. And I thought that took a lot for them just to change. Of course, they played that song in their shows because I was on, got to see them many times. But, you know, that to me says a lot about your confidence. And nothing was guaranteed to have a major hit on the rock station, on a rock station, and then just totally turn your back and go country, which they did, had a phenomenal career and still do today. And then here come the Bellamy brothers, my boys down in Florida. And I need to touch base with them because I got to play, not with them, but on many shows down at the Strawberry Festival every year. And they were big, always would host that. But Let Your Love Flow, man, 1976. Huge pop hit on the rock station. Well... They had that and went right into shifted the country and had 21 number one hits and 50 total country chart hits. So there you go, man. That's three groups right there that made an impact in the 70s. And then my fourth favorite group, and they stuck to their genre. They stuck with their music. Russell Smith, one of the greatest guitar players and vocalists you'll ever hear. Amazing Rhythm Aces, man. Of course, Third Rate Romance was huge in 75.
That's right.
That circle, many honky tonks. You had Amazing Rhythm Aces. And then my final pick, my number five, is my ultimate crazy boogie-woogie western swing R&B Americana, Commander Cody and the Lost Planet Airmen. Seeds and Stems, Truck Driving Man, Smoke, 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 Hot Rod Lincoln, I Took Three Bennies and My Semi Won't Start. This band was something. Did you ever catch on to them or listen to them, Gary?
Not really. Okay. Not really. No, familiar with who they are, but no, never. Not that was one that got past me.
Brother, they were out there, but their music was good, and they were electric. Let me put it that way. They did everything, and they were real proud of their marijuana background. About all their songs had that in there or something, you know. But anyway, and that's my five. And I want to say, too, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame sometimes lets you down. And I don't understand some of their inductees, but they finally got Bad Company in.
Yeah, they
over
did.
The weekend. You saw that.
Yep.
Unfortunately, Paul Rogers was too sick to perform.
I hate that, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, there's only Simon Kirk and him left. Rouse is gone. We did the feature on him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Boz Burrell, the bass player, he's gone. They finally got something right, man. You know, you and I have talked about that. Sometimes I just don't know where they're coming from with the people they've been putting in there.
Well, you know, I know they wanted to expand the genres, but, you know, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, really, to me, should be rock and roll, but it's you know, there's so many different, and some people you don't feel like have earned their stripe. And I don't mean that toward the white stripes. They deserve to be in, but I mean, there are some bands who get in who you're like, really? You're going to go ahead and put them in and artists, and you've left bands out, but like you said, for Bad Company, you know, a lot of these bands, they don't get in until they're either, you know, there aren't many members left or, yeah,
almost
you know.
Almost like me at 72. I know, and I'm not going off on the newer stuff, but what's happened, all these people that was in the original, the Hall of Fame, that board, they're dead.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't have the people that know. They let it, like we just did these bands. These bands will get lost in your memory, yeah, man. Somebody don't talk to you.
Well, they've worked so hard to be eclectic, and, you know, it's like, you know, and we're going to get some calls because they're lining up. But it's like, you okay. know, I'm obviously a big Journey fan. And, you know, they did not want to put Journey in. They fought it. No. And you know, they had written negative reviews because they sold a lot of records. And they found on bands like Foreigner and Journey and Styx because the REO Speedwagon because they were, quote, unquote, arena rock. But they sold out concerts because they were good.
And that's not fair.
See,
I disagree with that.
That
new way of thinking.
Yeah. And Journey finally got in just because the fans just kind of demanded it. And same thing with Kiss. You know, eventually Paul Stanley just said, I don't care if we ever get in or not. You know, we know how we impacted people. And he was, even when Kiss got in, they were still like, you know, we're in, we get it, but we would have been fine without it. So, but anyway, let's move on. We got calls. Okay. I'm going to add one band that kind of falls in, especially Pure Prairie League. And we mentioned the Flying Burrito Brothers last week, but I always love Firefall. And I think Just Remember I Love You, Strange Way, those are You Are the Woman. Those are incredible songs.
Well,
and
brother, that is on the list for next week.
Okay, well, let's leave them
out. I will not leave them out. No way.
Let's get to them next week. All right, let's get to phone calls because they're lined up, and we're going to lead off with Philip. He's been waiting the longest. Punch Philip through. Chase is working a call right now. Can you go ahead and punch Philip through? Yeah, he's going to get Philip on with us. Hey, Philip, you're on with Larry the Music Man.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Doing great.
I tell you, I've talked to you in the past about the music in the 70s, and, you know, I always loved Rita Coolidge and Sheena Easton, and I always had a crush on Nicolette Larson, still do.
Oh, yeah, what a great singer.
Rest in peace. She died way too young.
Yeah.
But I tell you, the artist out there, to me, that was way different than he in the early 70s, as opposed to how he was even in the late 70s, just a few years in the same decade, he was totally different. And that's Billy Joel.
Oh, yeah.
To me, Billy Joel, from like 73 or so to 76, was totally different from the way he is was from.
He was rocking it, man. He was rocking it. Yeah, he was rocking it. You're right. I don't know what happened. Was it his wife?
Yeah, well, he, if you listen to his early works, like especially like Street Life Serenade, that is, he almost had like a country western type, some very country western type tunes that were great that not many people know about.
Phil, I compare him to that same what you're talking about is Elton John on Tumbleweed Connection. He got away from the roots when he started. That was very country oriented. That album, country had a country feel to it, real earthy. Do you agree with that?
I do, and you know, like Billy had a song called he had an instrumental song called Mexican Connection, which is nothing like he did from the late 70s on, and he had a song called Root Beer Rag that was absolutely nothing like he did from the late 70s on. And both of those tunes were instrumental.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll interject here because I like Billy Joel a lot too. I just think he evolved as an artist, and a lot of these guys do. He started, you know, really young, and you know he did go through phases. I think Phillip's great to point that out. You know, started like you said a little more earthy, and you said that Larry earthy tones, and then you know, and by the late 70s he was kind of a hard driving rock and roller, although they had horns and the piano, but he had some incredible ballads. And then by the 80s, it was more of a pop feel, you know, with Christie Brinkley and the MTV era. But I'll tell you this about Billy Joel: great songwriter, great singer, piano player, certainly one of the all-time greats.
Well, that's what I said about Christy. He was New York. He got into the big limelight. In fact, he wrote the song, you know, about her.
Yeah.
So anyway, but it was good. And Elton John, of course, he went on and did it. What he did was awesome. It's just that Tumbleweed Connection album was totally different.
Oh, yeah.
Then the whole feel to it.
But you know, you evolve, and Elton, of course, from everything from the costumes to the identity crisis that he went through. Yeah, he's another artist that has a wide range of music, man. I mean, it's just
for real.
It's and continues to sing, and it's good stuff. Hey, good stuff, Phillip.
Thank you, Phillip. Good call, man.
Appreciate you, my friend. All right, go ahead and punch through Steve in Tuscaloosa. All right, Steve. Good morning.
Hey, thank you, Gary. Larry, how you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Doing good, man.
Well, I've got one. It's kind of a moldy, but I always liked them. They had a bomb of a first album, but their second album was pretty good. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
You're talking about one of my top 10 drummers there, man.
Carl Palmer. He can blast
Carl
it. Powerhouse.
Yeah,
Carl Palmer. Not everybody wanted to play with Carl Palmer because he was a powerhouse. But
Yeah. They were, when they had came out with Brain Salad Surgery, it was, that was good stuff. That was just really good stuff.
I loved In the Beginning, that, man, what a song, you know. The whole thing, the whole Greg Lake's vocals, man, good Lord. And
Lucky Man.
Lucky Man. They were awesome live. They pulled that off too, three piece, it was like. And he would go to guitar a lot of times, you know, and do like Lucky Man or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, man, that's a good pick there, brother. See,
I hear them every now and then, and don't, you know, they were kind of a two or three hit wonder, but to me they spoke a lot, and I really enjoyed them so much. Hey, listen, guys, I appreciate all you do
with
this show.
Thanks for calling.
It's outstanding. Thanks a lot, guys.
Oh, thank you, Steve. Appreciate you. I tell you what we'll do, Chase. Let's go ahead and take our scheduled break. That way we won't have to rush toward the end. And 205-342-9904. Raggy Glory's holding, but I know Raggy Glory likes to go last, so we're gonna keep him on hold. But 205-342-9904. Larry's talking about bands from the 70s. He named five of them that, you know, kind of maybe have gotten overlooked. What are some of the bands that you consider in that realm of bands that impacted but for whatever reason, we don't talk much about them today. 205-342-9904. We'll be back with more of the Gary Harris Show right after this. If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after-hours.
AR.com, where you pick it out and we'll work it out. Select models with approved credit plus tax registration and fees. $16.67 per thousand. Finance for 60 months. See dealer for details. Expires month end.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa. The weather.
The warming trend continues today. The sky's sunny, the high 65. Clear tonight, the low 41. Tomorrow and Friday, lots of sunshine both days. The high tomorrow 70, the high Friday afternoon, a mild 73 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 58 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Follow Tide 100.9 on Facebook today to watch our live shows. Read the great articles and interact with Bama fans today.
All right, 10:51. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. We're having our Larry the Music Man segment. Been a good segment today. Larry rattled off five bands from the 70s, and we'll continue this theme next week. And 205-342-9904 if you want to join the program. But yeah, Larry, we talked about this last week, but you're more of a product of it than I am, because you are, you know, older than me. I was born in 64, but as I said, my mother introduced me to a lot of music that was before my time, and so, but
Gary, you are really informed more than the average. Of course, all the callers are, you know, I really give it to them. But, man, I think that's why you and I clicked. You got a good feel for what was right and what was good. And, you know, like you said, you didn't particularly care for the lost Commander Cody. I mean, they wasn't at the top of my list, but they certainly.
No, I didn't care for them. I just never really got into them. I will listen to them more now that you brought them up. So I certainly don't have anything against them. But by the 70s, I was taking in music. You know, I remember, you know, Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog and you know, the early 70s songs when I was still a little boy. I mean, I was 7 years old in 1971. By then, I was already consuming music. You know, David Gates and Bread. Like I said, a lot
we're
of those.
We're not going to forget about Bread either.
Yeah, and
Three Dog Night at one time was the biggest group.
Yeah, Three Dog Night, obviously, huge. Man. Oh, I mean, listen, I went around singing Jeremiah the Bullfrog, which was written by Chet Atkins. I went around singing that song as a kid. I mean, we all did. Jeremiah was which is a silly song, but it was a great song. But anyway, 70s are awesome, and I'm glad we're reliving this. But like you said, a group like Pure Prairie League and you know, you said to get into Firefall next week, but you know, Starland Vocal Band and Starbuck and King Crimson and, you know, just all of these great bands. So let's go ahead, because we don't have any other callers. Let's go ahead and punch Ragged Glory through, because we only got about 4 minutes left anyway. Hey, Ragged Glory.
You know what? You guys have just stole pretty much all my fun.
No, we didn't. You got some.
I know you got something left. Come on, man, bring it.
Well, yes, you know, Larry, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod, Lincoln. You know what? Yeah, Commander Cody, one of the 45.
And don't forget, Billy Joel said, if that's moving up, I'm moving out.
That's right.
You know what? Okay. Vince Gill, yes. Oh, my gosh, Amy. I had to go out and buy Pure Prairie League because I was in Germany at the time. Oh, yeah.
What a beautiful
and here's
song.
Another thing. Oh, Amy. And I actually learned how to play that song at one time. And then he goes out and does, Nobody Answers When Call Your Name.
One of the saddest songs ever.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, brings tears to your eyes. A shout out to, I think, Climax blues band.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't get it right.
Hey, let me correct something real quick because I do make mistakes. I got nothing against King Crimson. King Crimson was a hard driving English progressive rock band. I like them too. But when I was speaking of the kind of the smooth 70s, I meant to say King Harvest, and I misspoke. Now listen, King Crimson is a good band too, and I enjoy them. But King Harvest was the band that I was thinking of. So make sure I'm clear on that, Larry.
Yeah, that album. That CD is very rare. Amazon has it. It's very expensive. That is a phenomenal album, King Harvest.
Oh, yeah, and the Dancing in the Moonlight, dude. It's one of those songs, yeah. Frank, Glory, and Larry, that we're talking about. It is a 70s song. When you hear it today, it stands the test of time. When I hear Dancing in the Moonlight, I want to dance in the moonlight. I want to get up and clap my hands and love that song.
I'll tell you Looking Glass. Looking Glass, they had one album. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, Brandy's a classic.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Raggy, get back at it. I interrupted you there, but I wanted to make sure I corrected myself. Go ahead.
You know what? And when you were taking me back to that kind of stuff, Van Morrison, Wild Nights.
Oh, yeah.
Lit me up. There is so much. You know what, Larry? I'm sorry, but you know. We're in a time warp, but the 70s exploded. And there is still so many bands that can be called out, and I've got them. And we haven't even touched Europe.
Exactly. We may not be able to get out of the 70s.
No, you can stay in the 70s. I'm in no rush because, again, we're in my wheelhouse now. We get in the 70s and into the 80s. That's the Gary Harris wheelhouse, being 61. But the 70s was a special time. It was great growing up in the 70s. We can never go back, although we want to a lot. But, you know, like I said, by the 70s, you know, we had a basis of music. I mean, we had Elvis, and we had Chuck Berry, and we had the Rolling Stones and the British Invasion. And by the 70s, it really was a time for American music to take hold. And all these bands that were formed during the 70s make it special. And, you know, and the mega bands, too. You know, the Eagles and all of the bands that went huge. And then we get into the arena rock bands in the late 70s, like we've talked about with Styx and Journey and Foreigner and REO Speedwagon. But that early to mid-70s kind of smooth sound, Larry mentioned Sills and Crofts last week. I mean, it was just I have a CD back before, you know, I still am old school. Even though I'm 61, I still don't have Apple Music. I still do CDs, but I have a smooth 70s CD that I still will pop in my CD player at home, and it's all these songs that we're talking about. They're awesome.
Gary, a decade that holds a station, an FM station, the classic rock station, one decade can make a station work 24/7. So think about that. That's how much music. I mean, it hadn't gotten old. Your classic rock stations is what makes the wheels go around.
All right, Greg, Gory, and Larry, we're squeezing one more call before that. We did just got a call in from Lenny and Hoover. Thank we want to get him on. Hey, Lenny, you're on with Larry the Music Man.
All right, thanks, Gary. How are you?
Doing great.
Got a question here for the life of me. I mean, I went to Tuscaloosa. I was fortunate enough to see The Who in 1971.
Yes, sir, you were.
When they came on November 22nd. And unfortunately, I graduated in May and June. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer came. And to me, there's no better keyboard player than Keith Emerson. I mean, absolutely no one better. I do have a question. I know that this has to do with Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that you mentioned. But I don't understand why Three Dog Night are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, the number of their commercialism. I mean, look at the hits. I don't know why the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is so judgmental on more. The talent part and the art outweighs the talent sometimes, man. That's just my take on it. It's almost like they're stuck. It's a bunch of stuck up, too smart for their pants. You know what I mean? I mean, they need to be in there. That group was part of the 70s. They ruled the 70s, half of it. I mean, the decade. So I agree, brother. I don't know. But like you said, the people that appreciate it are dead.
It's a different group.
It is. Some bands have gotten left behind, and it's another thought on Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, because Lenny's right. Whatever. And I mentioned King Crimson. You know, Greg Lake came from King Crimson. So. But Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, you're right. Brilliant. Three brilliant musicians, buddy. That's
absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And Three Dog Night spanned the entire. The 4 years of my college career.
Yeah. I mean,
one came out in 69 rather. And all the way through college, it seemed like there was a Three Dog Night song on the air.
All right, listen, Chase is playing the music, so we got to go, Lenny. Thank you for getting in. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Gary.
And Gil texted in about Bread. Yeah, we're going to talk more about them for sure. Hey, thanks, Larry. See you next week. Hey, got to get out of here. That's going to do it for the Gary Harris Show. The Miller's Edge is coming up next. Have a great day, everybody.